There are some in this audience tonight who have had the very distinct privilege to travel with me. They know who they are. And some of those people have actually invited me to go along a second time. I'm not a good traveler. I don't travel well. And when I do travel, and we stay somewhere, and we get up and say, what should we do today? And I said, let's go home. I'm always ready to go home. I can have a good time when we travel, even if I do travel with Lee and Susan. I can still manage to have a good time, but I'm always ready to go home. So as I was given my topic for this progressive meeting. I wasn't at the meeting when they assigned topics. I thought, who better to talk about going home than me? Because I'm always wanting to go that way. I appreciate each one of you. As John said, I'm encouraged just by you being here too. Just your very presence. I will have to say one thing. He talked about all the lessons that he's getting out of that. I'm doing all of mine tonight. So I'm just going to get them all over with tonight. I'm not going to... Just kidding. But that is true. There's a lot of meat there. So. A lot to talk about. I am talking about this idea of the journey home. The journey home. We think about what a home is. The word home has several different definitions, but a very simple one is the place where one dwells. We think of that as home. Now, I'm an individual that hasn't lived a lot of different... I lived with Mom and Dad till I was 20 and a day. And then I married my first wife, who is still my wife. Because God himself knows I couldn't get another. Bless her heart. People tell her that all the time. Bless your heart. I don't understand that, but they do. Bless your heart. But I moved out of there in with my wife, and we established our own home. But yet, for the longest time, don't you find yourself saying, I'm going to go back down home? That's home. And it always kept a place as home. Instead, I own home now. I own that, but I still live in my place that we call home, where we raised our family. It's home. And in a home, you look for something where you're loved, as Larry talked about the other night. You look for a place where you feel safe and secure, where you're comfortable. I've been places before, and you kind of get, sick. Why can't wait till I get home? And you feel a little bit better just because you're sick at home. And don't most of us, I know you men do, we have a place at home that we spend a lot of our time, and that's my chair. Ain't nobody else's. Now, I'm not saying you women don't have that too, because I'm sure sometimes you have the his and hers, or you have your place you always sit on the couch or whatever, but you've got a spot at home. And you want to get to that place. As we think about the idea of home sweet home, I looked up in the Webster dictionary. My wife was a Webster, so that's the dictionary I have to use. I can't use any other. She says her family wrote that. I don't know. And I looked up the word sweet. Lots of definitions for that. Had my picture there in one place. Not really. If it did, it would have said, have me not. But the sweet, the definition I like that really pertains to us is a pleasant or gratifying experience, possession, or state. And as you think of something sweet, it's usually pleasant. The thought is usually pleasant. And that's how it defines it. I also looked up the word journey, because I'm talking about us being on a journey tonight. Journeys is something suggesting travel or passage from one place to another. Don't we sing that song, "This world's not my home, just passing through"? Yeah. This ain't home, folks. We were not made for this earth. We live here. It's home while we're here in that sense. But as you think about whatever kind of home there is that we know, they're not lasting. The Apostle Paul and Peter, they'll refer to our bodies as tents. You know, I always found that interesting, tense. And Paul talked about how he wanted to go to a better place, you know, because he said, this is just a tent. Now, if you live in a tent, I'm not trying to offend you or anything, that's fine. You know, if it's what you have to do or that's what you choose to do. But that's a temporary thing. The very house you live in is temporary. It may last far longer than you do, but someday it's going to crumble. Or somebody's going to come along and tear it down. It's going to burn. That house will not last. Any home that we know here doesn't last. Our journey is to a home that lasts. Because, you know, God made us very special, didn't he? In all of his creation, he gave us a soul. C.S. Lewis is credited with saying one time, my favorite quote, I use it a lot, Crossroads hears it a lot. But C.S. Lewis is credited with saying, we don't have a soul. We are a soul, we have a body. And how true that is. And even this home for the soul, this body, it doesn't last. You know what Solomon said? It returns to the dust from which it came. And the soul or the spirit goes back to God who gave it. Everybody who has ever lived upon this earth or ever will is on a journey to eternity. Now there's two destinations. And we have a God that lays out for us what kind of those, you know, the places where we're going, what kind of place it'll be. And say, now you choose where you're going. And I think as we take these trips that we take, and I guess I'll have to date myself and a lot of people, years and years ago, you know, you'd look at brochures. You young people know what a brochure is? No. All these lovely pictures of Niagara Falls. Yeah. What do you do now? You get on your computer. Oh, look here. It shows you all this stuff, you know. I mean, you just zoom in and see anything. But we had to look at brochures. And then when you got ready to go, you got out your atlas. And you said, well, we can go down this road here. Now, you had to pick. Even then, you could take the scenic route. The closest route, whatever, but you got your map out. You know, we don't do that anymore. Most of you have a GPS on you. That's all you use, just your GPS. Global positioning, whatever it is. But I like God's GPS a whole lot better, don't you? And you know what that is? God's plan saves. I made that up. But ain't it right? Ain't it so? I love it. God's plan saves. And we're on that journey. We're on that journey home. We use that idea, that term home. We use it a lot. You know, Larry talked about the things that we say when we say sweet. You know, but we say homegrown. We like things that are homegrown. You know, homegrown. We're all about that. Homemade. You know, Randy was talking about homemade stuff, you know. And we're going to, after all, we're going to have some homemade stuff. But I'm going to tell you this. If you brought some store-bought cookies, I'm going to eat them. No, I will not discriminate. But we talk about the things being homemade. Talk about a good homemade, home-cooked meal. We talk about that. Have you ever been homesick? Oh, I experienced homesickness once. I was literally just, until I got to see my mama, I was sick. You know, I hadn't seen her for 3 or 4 days. A little fella. I hadn't done it since, you know, but now I just want to go home. But I was homesick. Horrible feeling. A homebody, that's me, I'm a homebody. If you just could all come to the house tonight, I wouldn't have to come out and win here. You're done this tonight, I could have stayed home. I didn't think we could get you over, we'd have room. I've got plenty of parking. And you know where I live now, I've got lots of parking. Nice big parking lot on both sides of the street. The school uses them during the daytime a lot of time, but I could use them tonight. I could have got all you in there. Oftentimes we talk about our hometown, don't we? And you can live in the country, but you've got a hometown. It's where you go through to get your groceries and all that. That's your hometown. We talk about our hometown a lot. And how about all these web pages? They have a home page. A home page. You know, these web a home page. Everything's all about home. All about home. And we understand all that. And we understand the significance of that. But we know, you know, as I talked about before, we know what makes a home. I don't know how many of you, I won't ask you to show, but how many of you, if you stop and think about it, somewhere in your house you have something hanging or laying that says home sweet home. A lot of you. Home sweet home. There's no place like home. The Wizard of Oz, that line comes from that, you know. Oh, you're familiar with the Wizard of Oz? Two of you. It's 80 years old this year, the Wizard of Oz. And Dorothy's got those ruby slippers. Now, Dorothy came from Kansas. As we were here tonight and we did our ruby slippers and, you know, there's no place, we wouldn't be in Kansas anymore. You know, but that idea of getting home. And I'm all about it, both in this life and on the journey home now. I have been on that journey. Now, I figured this up just today. For 78.4528% of my life. You can fact check if you want to know the dates. But that's real close. Most of my life I've been on this journey. There's a mathematical way to do that. Maybe John can help you with that. Do that, but you can figure that up if you know when you were baptized and how old you are now. And you have to get the right answer, you have to tell the truth about how old you are now. But I've been on that journey for a long time. I like to think that I do a better job as a traveler now than I did when I was 13. When I was 13.75. When I became a Christian. But we're traveling. We're on a journey. As with most of your other lessons that have been done this week, we sang so much about that. Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a home where my friends have gone. Oh, they tell me of that land far away, where the tree of life in eternal bloom sheds its fragrance through the unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of the King and His beauty there. And they tell me that mine eyes shall behold where He sits on the throne that is whiter than snow in the city that is made of gold. Oh, they tell me that He smiles on His children there and His smile drives their sorrows away. And they tell me that no tears ever come again in this lovely land of unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of the unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. If that ain't home sweet home, I don't know what is. I want that. I want that for all of us. But as we're on this journey, we're traveling together. We're traveling together. So we're not alone. And sometimes when we're on journeys in our automobiles, you know, especially before the GPS, we may follow someone somewhere, you know. I'll have to follow you. I don't know how to get there. Now, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but if Lee Collins hadn't had me, he'd still be driving right here in the country tonight.
Amen.
I don't want to embarrass Lee. I love him. Good friend of mine. But from his house to the church, he has to drop crumbs so he can get back home. And seriously, I'm the same way. So we got two good women. He gets us around usually. But I'm thankful for GPS. But usually you'd maybe follow somebody. When I was 18 years old, I'd heard of Indianapolis. I'd seen it on TV once in a while. You know, ooh, that's a big place. Never been there. Well, I got this job, and this guy thought it would be smart for me to take his 16-foot box truck and follow this other guy and go through Indianapolis to this other place to get some merchandise. Oh, I was terrified. We left at 5 o'clock in the morning. And the guy that owned George's Gateway at Bedford, some of you may know him, I don't know. I was following him. So by the time we get to Indianapolis, it's 7, 8 o'clock. I'm boom, 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 boom. I swear he took us right through the middle of town and he went on a yellow light. You want to guess what I did? Beep! I said, you ain't losing me here, buddy. I laid on the horn, went right ahead and got away with it. But how sweet it is to follow Jesus. To have Him be the one that leads us. To take us by the hand and leads us on the journey. That's what we have. That's why He calls Himself the Good Shepherd, you know. You know what a shepherd does? They lead sheep. He refers to us as a sheep. That's okay with me. I've been called a lot worse. The sheep follow the shepherd. They know the shepherd's voice. They'll follow that. That's us on that journey. All right, let's start our sermon now. Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul writes, beginning verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to reach the prize for which God has called me, heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that to God will make you clear, only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers. Take note of those who have lived according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship, Paul says, is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who with the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Oh, I like that. I like that. And I like that idea, that transformation thing. I got a little snippet that's going to be in our bulletin at Crossroads. I think I've used it before, a little thing I run across, and I've used it in the bulletin. And it says, if I can remember how it goes, I should have printed it off a bulletin and brought it. Since I'm going to bring this stuff in my sermon, I don't have my notes. That takes longer. It said that Satan deforms, man tries to reform, but God transforms. That's what it says. We have a transforming God, and we are transformed. Paul says it's not beneficial to look back. You know, if you're on a trip and you're traveling, you keep looking out the back, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in trouble. His idea was that we press forward, we press on. Forget that stuff. Because who we are, that stuff is to be left behind. Interesting enough, the Hebrew writer says that, as he talks about us running a race, he says, throw off everything that hinders you. Those things that hinder you. He's talking about sin. He said, they're going to get in the way. They're going to get in the way. You don't need them on this journey. We've been qualified for that home. And I mean, all the scripture, I mean, I'm not going to read all those scriptures. Don't panic. But, it comes down to when Paul wrote to Colossians, he said that we've been qualified. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought about the things we have to be qualified for in life? There's a lot of things we've got to be qualified for. There's jobs. I don't think that Monday said, well, I'm going to open me a doctor's office. I could do it, I guess, to somebody come on and arrest me. But would you, any of you like to come and see me? You're feeling aches and pains? I have enough. I'll not be too bad at it. I might be able to tell you what to do. But I'm not qualified for that. I'm not trained for that. And there's a lot of little things we don't think anybody has to be qualified for. Those of you who drove here tonight, you better have had a driver's license or you weren't qualified to be on the road driving. Sometimes we do it with expired license. You've got to have that driver's license. That qualifies you to do that. Don't you just hate to go to the license branch? Is anybody here that enjoys the trip to the license branch? I want to see your hand. Nobody likes to go to the license branch. True story. A few months ago, I go to the license branch. I always try to make the best of it. I'm just that kind of guy. I walk into the license branch. There wasn't a customer in sight. I thought, boy, this is going. Four lovely ladies sitting up there waiting to wait on me. I walk in. I'm heading toward them women. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You've got to get one of them little tickets over there, that number. I don't know when I sit in the waiting place over there. Sir, you can come ahead. Knock you, say number 74. I ain't budging. 74. That's me. That's the true story. They don't let me in the license branch anymore. I can't go. But I had to have that to be qualified to be waited on. You have to have your number, you know. And I don't understand everything they do. Why? I thought I could just walk in there and they could have just went ahead and cleared a number 74 or something. I don't know. They had to have that number. You have to give it to them, you know. They've got to have your number. But I had to have that to be qualified. A lot of things, if you want to get into various events, it requires a ticket. And you have to pay for that ticket. You get there, you don't have the ticket. Well, I'm sorry, you're not coming in. You don't have a ticket. You're not qualified to enter. Even to things like that, you have to be qualified. But we're qualified by the blood of Jesus Christ to enter heaven and eternity. Doesn't mean we don't do anything. Don't misunderstand. Because of that blood, we are now eligible to be partakers of the grace of God, that we can join this journey. That we can get on the road to doing this. Pay attention, Randy. Pay attention. Watching Andy Griffith the other day. I think it was Thursday. Gomer got fired from his job. Wally fired him. You know, Wally did a strange thing. He fired him from his job. Staying with Andy, it wasn't working out too good. But he comes in, he tells Andy, he said, I ain't having no luck finding a job. And he said, well, something will come up. Well, he said, I'm going over to the market. They're advertising for an experienced butcher. And Andy said, you know anything about cutting meat? You think he'll ask me that? I don't believe he was a qualified butcher. Sometimes we get like that in life. You know, we think we're qualified for things we don't know much about. We've been qualified. And we've been invited. We have been invited. Randy, tell somebody there tonight and go, Matthew chapter 11, verse 20 through 31. Come unto me, y'all, you labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. We are invited, not by just anybody, but by Jesus himself. Now, invitations are an interesting thing, aren't they? Again, dating myself, I remember when somebody was going to invite you something, about somewhere 3 to 4 or 5 weeks before that, you'd get the invitation in the mail. Now, what's the deal with this now, 6 months before? Save the date! Got to save the date! How many of us actually write that date on the calendar? You know, then we get to, oh, where's that save the date thing? We didn't. You know, something else to keep track of. We get all kinds of invitations. And you know, some of them, you know, we may be a little excited about, some of them we're not. Have you had these? I've had these invitations. Get this invitation, open it up, and I'll look at it tomorrow. Who is that? I don't know. Well, then you come to find out, oh, that's your third cousin's neighbor's friend that lives in Nebraska. Oh, no wonder they invited us. We're so close. But you get the invitation. You don't know. I just, was that returning? Here's a check for $25. That's what they wanted anyway, I guess, you know. But you get that kind of invitation. And you get invitations that you're excited about. But the invitation to heaven, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, I don't know about you, but I'm excited about that. I'm excited about that to no end. To take that invitation. Because we've been washed in the blood. Now he's qualified us to do that. And we're on that journey together. Led by the Savior. The Good Shepherd. The King. The Lamb of God. That leads us on. We have a place reserved for us. You know, when we plan a trip, one of the biggest things we got to do, well, we got to try to get some reservations. And I always have reservations about going. You know, so I've got reservations about even leaving the house. Well, we get your reservations, you know. And there's nothing that will upset you anymore. You drive 14 hours, thank goodness we're at the hotel, and you get in there, you have reservations. Let's see, what's your name? No, don't have you down here. Now, one of two things has happened. You're at the wrong place, or they didn't take your reservation right. Something's wrong. Something's messed up. And we get upset if that reservation's not right, or it's not what we reserved. It bothers us. But we have a place reserved for us. Revelation chapter 21, verse 27, as John records that revelation of Jesus Christ, as it speaks of heaven, no corrupt thing will enter it. Nothing like that. No sin will enter in. Only those whose names are written on the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name is there if you're on that journey. Isn't that exciting? How sweet that is to know that your name is on the Lamb's Book of Life and a place reserved for you. Jesus promised it before. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God or trust in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And where I am, there you may be also. And if I go, I'm coming back for you. He said, you know the way to where I'm going. Poor old Thomas said, Lord, we don't know the way to where you're going. Lord Jesus said, Thomas, let me tell you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He is the way. He is our vehicle to the Father. And there's no other way. How sweet it is to be part of that. Knowing that there's a place there. To have our name written in heaven. We sang that song. You know, is my name written there? On the pages white and fair? We sang that. Tell me, Jesus, is my name written there? When we sing that song, how's it go? When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, time shall be no more. You know, morning verse. Oh, and when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I like that song because it says called up yonder. You know, that's the way I talk anyway. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. The roll call. You know where that roll call comes from? The Lamb's Book of Life. That book that has those names written on it. That's the roll call. We sing about that. It excites us. We like that. The very notion of what lies before us on this journey. This journey that we're on. You know, when you plan a trip, the preparation of how you pack has to do with where you're going. Now, if there's anybody here that's planning on going to Colorado for a ski trip here pretty soon, you can probably leave your swimsuit at home. Now, if you're wanting to go to the beach or go to the, you know, where it's warm, don't take all that ski gear. You're not going to need it. And you know that. You plan accordingly, don't you? We have to have the proper attire on this journey we're on. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Paul tells the Galatians, you know, that as he speaks of this very thing, those that have been baptized, he said, into Christ have put on Christ. And Christ is something that it's something you put on and you don't take it off. He's not something you hang in the closet because, Lord, you can't go tonight. You know, we try that sometimes, don't we? We're to put him on. Paul talks to Romans about the very same idea. He writes to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 6, and he talks about the armor that we're to wear. It's not a big, heavy, cumbersome army like the Roman soldier, but he relates all those pieces of the army. You put those on because, guess what? On this journey, you're going to need every piece of that. Because the journey's hard. It's a hard journey. And we're not told otherwise. Jesus said it's going to be hard. But you know what else he tells us? It's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. And all the places that we go, the trips that we take, sometimes the journey's hard. And when we get there, if it's what we want it to be, it was worth the time and the trip, wasn't it? And how about this journey? It may be hard, but we dress accordingly. We have Jesus Christ on. We have him on as our refuge, as our shelter. The psalmist will say so many things about what the Lord is to him. His rock, his Savior, his salvation, my refuge, my shelter in a time of storm. And don't we sing that song too? That's what he is. So we wear him. We wear that Christian armor that we talk so much about, because we want to get there. And we want to get there in one piece, we say, don't we? When we start on a trip, we want to get there in one piece. But nonetheless, as we travel, we usually prepare for what we hope won't happen, trouble. I just seriously doubt, or I hope none of you do this, but when you're loading up your luggage in your car, well, we can't quite get to, just take that spare tar out. We probably won't need that. We'll leave it here. If you do that, remind me not to go anywhere with you. We have things like that for preparation. Yeah. You might want to check it to make sure it's got air in it, because sometimes you've got to, I've got a spare tar. Oh, it's flat. So part of the preparation might be checking that. I'm one of these guys, if I am going to travel, I don't go very far, I do the overkill thing. I have to have the plug kit and a little compressor in my car. I have to have all that. You know, a hammer and a screwdriver and a pair of ice grips. Oh, amazing what you do, a pair of ice grips. Oh, and some duct tape and some black electrical tape. You're golden. Car broke down, well, I taped it back up, and here we are. But you prepare for those things. You prepare to have trouble. Then there's things that you can't prepare for that you encounter along the way. Well, life is full of trouble, isn't it? I believe Job said, man is born in one but a few days and full of trouble. He knew what he's talking about. Doesn't mean life isn't enjoyable a lot of the times. I mean, God wants us to enjoy life, but it's full of trouble. And on this journey, I'm here to tell you, you're going to hit the valley sometime. And you're going to hit the mountaintop and everything in between on your spiritual journey as you travel to heaven. As you're on your way home, it's going to be hard. But it's going to be worth it.
That's right.
The valleys will be rough. The things you'll experience along the way, they're going to be rough. They're going to be hard. But there's the good shepherd there ready to take your hand or to embrace you, to comfort you. A comfort that you can't get anywhere else, because he's leading you. He's leading you on that journey. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he talks about some of his hardships. Now, I got to tell you, everything I read about Paul, it seemed like that man was in trouble all the time. Whether it was in jail or being stoned, whatever. But he tells about some. He talks about the times he was, you know, beaten, stoned on the case, shipwrecked. He said, I've been cold and hungry and naked. All those things, he said, I've been through all that. But I would challenge anyone to show me a passage in any of Paul's writings where he said, I just thought about giving up. I don't think he said it. He said it's hard. He said the journey's hard. And he's the same guy that as he got to the end of his journey, he was nearing the end of his life, that could say, I finished the course. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. So there's laid up for me a crown of life, but not just for me, he said, as he wrote to Timothy, but for all those that love his appearing. He suffered through the hard times, the valleys of the journey that he was on, and went through, as we read about him, far more than we will probably ever have to. I've seen people give up on the journey because of trouble. I've never understood it, but I've seen it. They'll just quit. We have to stay on course. You know, it's pretty easy, you know, if you're just traveling the trips we take, you know, and you see a sign, something, let's drive down and say, that's okay. When you're on that vacation or whatever, yeah, I've never been down there before. Let's drive down and see what's down there. Maybe something exciting, I don't know. So you may take a little side trip here and there. What did Paul say? I press on to the prize. My eyes are on the prize. It's not over here. It's not over here. Something that's over here. That's Satan's. Hey, turn down this way. Come down here. Don't get off course. Don't get off course. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 13, 14, he said there's two paths. We all know about that. He said there's a broad path. Now if you're out traveling, you see two roads. Boy, it's a nice big paved road there and this goat path over here. You're probably not going to take the goat path. I'm going to tell you the journey to heaven may look like a goat path sometime. But what's important is where does it lead to? He said this path that's broad, he said it leads to destruction. Now, if there's a big sign there that said that, this road leads to destruction, come on. I don't think so. Straight and narrow is the path that said that leads to life everlasting. It leads home. Home sweet home. And you can't allow yourself to turn off of that path. Because this journey we're on, it's our walk of life is what it is. The way we're living life, that's what it's all about. And we're all in it together. So we got to stay on course. We sang that song, No Turning Back. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, I'll follow him. We have to have that attitude. If you want to get there, you want to get home as bad as I do, there's no turning back. Because life is hard, the trip is hard, the journey is hard. Because the road is narrow and rough, there's no turning back. You can do it, but you're not going to get to heaven. You'll get to eternity, but it ain't going to be heaven. And it ain't going to be home sweet home. No turning back. You know, as we travel along, what we have the opportunity to do is to meet a lot of people in life. And one of the things that, you know, what God wants us to do, if you're on this journey and what God wants to do, see if you can get him to come along with you. In Acts chapter 11, let me turn and read that. Acts chapter 11, just a really good read here, and it really deals with that very thing. Verse 19 beginning, Luke records for us. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen. Now you go back to chapter 7, you read that. You know, the stoning of Stephen. But it says the disciples were scattered. Said some of those traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Those people had left because of persecution. They were scattered because of persecution. I don't know what all they took with them, but I know one thing they took. They took the gospel. They took the gospel. How many times have you had the opportunity on your journey to say to someone, do you know my Jesus? How he loves you? That's carrying the gospel. Blessed are the feet of those who carry the gospel. That's us. That's us. That's what we're meant to do on our journey. But you know, it's not God's wish that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He knows they're not going to, but that's what he would like. And what a good feeling it is to be able to share the gospel with someone and to have them respond to it in a positive way. You may share the gospel 500 times and you may save one person because of it. Is that worth it? It is. It's well worth it. Sometimes we have a tendency to grow weary in well-doing, don't we? We're told not to do that. And on our journey, we're expected to carry this message. To carry that message. To share the message. To let people know that they are in darkness and that you're in light. And know that when we're in the light, that we're not, as we said, we're not turning back. We're not quitting because we are in the light. And we meet people in darkness every day. And we don't want, we're not going to, even when some darkness comes our way, we're not going to abandon the light. I think it was Corrie Ten Boom that said, when the train enters the tunnel and you have pitch black darkness, you don't tear up your ticket and jump off. You trust the engineer. Jesus is driving the train, folks. Let's share the message with those in darkness and say, come into the light. Peter calls it his marvelous light. Let's share the message. Let's share the invitation and say, come follow. Even though you feel like you're not getting anything accomplished. That's what God wants you to do while you're on your journey. That's the very thing he wants you to do, to share that good news. In the, here in Acts, what was happening there that was just read. And word of that got back to the church of Jerusalem. And back then, you know, it wasn't like today. When you had to find out what was going on, you sent somebody. So they go out there. Who can we send to Antioch? See what's going on. Oh, Barnabas. Barnabas. This fellow by the name of Barnabas. Barnabas, you get on down there to Antioch, see what's going on. And you know, if we read on, it said Barnabas got there and said he saw evidence of the grace of God. He saw people joining the journey. He saw people getting on the Jesus train, folks. That's what he saw. We're on that. How sweet it is. How sweet it is to have heaven as our home. Second Peter chapter 1. Verses 10 and 11. Notice what Peter says there. Let's just back up to verse 9. He says, you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful and marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which are warring against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits. That's 1 Peter. Let's read 2 Peter. I've seen that when I started. I'm going to read it anyway because it's so good. You say, what's he doing? You know, I have to tell you, what time is it? What's that time? Oh, my, I've already run over, ain't I? Now, I won't tell you about my magic tricks. Huh? Don't tempt me, John. Get thee behind me, son. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, 10 and 11. Boy, that was good stuff. That should have been in my sermon. You know a good thing about being 61 and preaching? Nothing embarrasses you anymore. People just say, he's old. Did I say I was 61? Did I say that? Randy's not fit, but he soon will be. I happen to know that. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You ever went someplace where you didn't feel welcome? I get that a lot. Just me. But you come someplace maybe you don't feel welcome. Maybe it's somebody's house or whatever it is. I've been in the businesses I didn't feel welcome before. I like to feel welcome. And I'm gonna tell you, I will brag on me just a little bit. I've got my share of faults. Not an amen on that. But when it comes to hospitality, I put myself right up here. I do pretty good. Amen. Somebody come to my house, I'm welcoming. I'll feed them. We like to welcome. We like to be welcomed. One more quick story. From my childhood, I remember two specific days. I can't tell you the date of the day, but I remember the days themselves. I come from a family of 10. Of that 10, two of my brothers served in the military. One was in Vietnam for a year and one was in Germany for a year, year and a half. And I remember distinctly the day that they both came home. I remember the anticipation of the family waiting for them to walk through the front door. I remember the willingness to welcome them home. I remember the welcome they got when they come in the door. How sweet that was. Can you imagine being gone and saying, "Now who are you? We broke your plate. You don't live here anymore." It was a welcoming event. And of all my childhood, I remember those 2 days when they came home. And what that meant. And we're going to receive a rich, warm welcome into eternity with the Father. How sweet that is. And finally, wrap it up real quickly. Paul tells Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 through 19. He tells Timothy to grab on or hold on to eternal life. He said, the life that is truly life. You know why this ain't life? Because it ends. When we get to our home, it's living. And it's going to be sweet. I'm going to give you two real quick reasons and I'll be done. What's going to be so sweet about it? Number one, what's there? God, the Father, the Holy Spirit, the loved ones that have gone before, the redeemed. That's going to make it sweet. The other thing that's going to make it sweet is what's not there. All them troubles I talked about, all the troubles that Paul had, pain, sorrow, grief, tears, it ain't going to be there. I don't know about you, but I can do without all those things. Let's be on our way home together. Let's be on that journey. Let's travel together. And let's be Barnabas and encourage one another as we travel. Because sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need the loving hand of a brother or sister to lift us up. And encourage us along the way. And to say, don't quit. Don't give up. It's going to be worth it. With each passing moment, you draw ever closer to home. Be encouraged by that. If you are not yet on that journey tonight, guess what? Good news. There's still time. There's now. There may not be tomorrow. You may say, I'm going to do that tomorrow. May not be it tomorrow for any of us. Maybe for you. But there's now. You've been qualified because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now you just have to be washed in it. Be washed in the blood. Are you washed in the blood? We sing that, don't we? That's what's required of us, to be washed in that blood. To be a partaker of the redemption, the salvation, the grace that is offered and extended to us. And to get in and join the journey on that straight and narrow path. That's hard, but worth it. Maybe you're on the journey and you're struggling with wanting to turn back, or maybe you have. And you say, help me get turned around. Help me get going. We'll pray with you. To petition your name before the Creator of all things. And He knows who you are. Get you back on the path. Whatever it is. If there's some way we can help you tonight, we want to do that. Let us know when we stand and sing.